Good morning and welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. I hope you're having a wonderful Labor Day weekend. I hope you barbecued something, you enjoyed your family, you enjoyed your friends, you got to do what you wanted to do, not too much sunburn, rafting on the river, if there's still a river there. I haven't checked lately. Glad to have you with us. Beginning this month, my 18th year, if I've done this right, my 18th year here on KFBK. So glad to be here. So glad. It may be longer than that. I don't know. I've lost track. So glad to have you with us. Started in 1998, so I guess this would be my 18th year. So glad to have you with us. This is the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. How do we take care of mom, dad, grammy, grampy? How do we make sense out of lives that are beginning to change and become more frail? Some things I have to get out of the way when we start the show. Don't forget, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. In fact, everything that we talk about on this show is our opinion only and should never be taken as any kind of legal or tax advice. It's just our opinion. We talk about lots of stuff. I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I have a California insurance license, a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento County, California. I'm not securities licensed, don't want to be. I'm a notary, and I can't bind a book. So those are all the things we talk about here. I'll introduce you to, why don't we do it right now? My guest host today is...
Good morning. I'm Dustin McFarlane.
And who are you?
I am an elder law attorney. I am have my office here in Sacramento, and I focus my life on, you know, half of it is wills and trusts and just basic stuff, but most of the time I'm working with seniors or the families of seniors to try to make sure that we can protect what they have, and we use legal tools to do that. So that's what I do, and again, I know you said it, but this is what we talk about here is our opinion only. I'm not giving you legal advice. If you want legal advice, come in and let's talk.
We've got lots to talk about, lots and lots and lots of things to talk about today, as always. I have lists of things. Dustin has lists of things. I have a briefcase full of things. But I want to focus on a couple things. First of all, because we changed our show last week, for all of you that are seniors, it's my show. I get to promote who I want. So I went out and played a little golf course out in Nicholas. If you're a senior and you haven't had a chance to go play River Oaks, go do it. No, I don't get paid by them. I just thought it was a great place for seniors to go. It's easy to play. It's short. It's attractive. It's just a fun place to play. If you've never been there, go. I think you'll have a good time. Also, for any of you who are looking for a caregiver in your home, I have a caregiver that one of her clients recently died, and she has an opening. And so if you need a caregiver at home, give me a call. I'll give you your phone number later on, and I have somebody who can help you. Again, how do you contact me? 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007, or you can go to my website, assets.com/aging.com. We had a great workshop on Saturday, full of people. Our next workshop is on Saturday, the 26th, I believe, of September. I forgot to put my calendar in front of me. If that's not it, I'll correct it in a minute. But I believe it's the 26th of September at 10:30. If you have not signed up for that already, you can do so by calling me at 800-999-8007. Or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, and you can actually sign up there. You can also sign up for appointments to come in and see me and sit down and talk. We're going to talk about what we talked about last week and what we're going to talk about almost every week. And that is the issue of having the wrong disease. It's at the core of what I do and have been doing for 25 years. If you have the right disease, if you have cancer, you have heart disease, you have a heart attack, you have diabetes, you have MS, you have Parkinson's, you have whatever. If you have the correct disease and you wind up needing medical care, for those of you over 65, Mr. McFarlane, What pays for that?
Medicare pays for that primarily, and it's a great program. It's a great insurance program.
So if I go to the hospital, pardon me, and I have a heart attack, and I spend X number of days in the hospital, and the hospital bills $100,000, Medicare and my Medicare supplement are going to pay for that bill, right?
That's right. Medicare and your Medicare sup will pay for your hospital bill. That's correct.
Okay, but if my dad,
yes,
starts to have delusions or can't remember who the grandkids are or can't remember how to dress himself or can't remember any of those kinds of things, and he needs health care at what's commonly called an assisted living or a nursing home, what doesn't pay the bill?
Well, Medicare does not pay the bill.
But wait a minute. I'm 65. I've been told I have this little blue card.
And your Medicare supplement does not pay the bill.
So if my dad has a stroke.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
And goes to the hospital. We're fine, aren't we?
As long as you're in the hospital, you're fine.
But if my dad, by the way, my dad's deceased, so I'm using it as an example. But if my dad has a stroke and goes to a nursing home, that same little red, white, and blue card that my dad has in his wallet is going to pay for how much of that?
None.
But Mr. McFarland, attorney at law, I beg to differ with you. I've heard that it'll pay for up to 100 days.
Well, it will pay for... I guess that's how the rule says, but usually it's about 10 days, and then you're on your own.
But
it's for rehab. It's not for long-term care. So as long as you're getting better, getting stronger, getting ready to leave the facility, that's fine. Medicare will pay.
So I have a friend that just had a hip replacement.
Right.
Okay. He was in the hospital. While he was in the hospital, his Medicare card paid for...
the hip replacement, the food, the Kleenexes, the doctors, the x-rays, everything.
Okay. But if he goes to the nursing home and he needs to be there 20 days, is there a guarantee that Medicare is going to pay for these 20 days in the nursing home to rehab?
Yeah, there's no guarantee. What Medicare pays for is the rehab as long as you're getting better.
And we're going to take a break.
Look at that.
I know. Clock runs fast. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more about preserving what you've worked a lifetime for, and we're going to talk about preserving for a legacy for your children, and we're going to talk to children about how they can help their parents achieve that legacy and do it in a wise way. 800-999-8007. We'll be back in just a minute or two. Stick around right here on Assets and Aging. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. We talked a little bit about health care and distinguishing what Medicare pays for and what Medicare doesn't pay for. And generally speaking, Medicare and my Medicare supplement, whoever it's with, does not pay for long-term care.
No, not generally. That's correct. Medicare doesn't pay for long-term care, and your supplement only pays the 20% if Medicare pays the 80%. So if something is not covered by Medicare, it is not covered by your supplement either. And can I just throw in?
Yes.
It seems like this is a conversation that you and I have frequently.
All the time.
And yet, we sit down with folks, in fact, people who are in the industry, just this week, and had a conversation with somebody about what is your understanding about what Medicare covers and what Medi-Cal covers and what is a look back period and what are, you know, how much money can you have? And this person who is in the industry was unaware of the rules, just completely unaware. And that's fine, but the reason we go through this is because it needs to, there's so much bad information out there.
And I want to pick on children a little bit.
Let's pick on children.
We're going to pick
they
on children.
Them.
And one of the greatest hindrances in our world, folks, to preserving legacies and getting mom or dad the help that they have are children. And you go, well, but I love my parents. I love my mommy and my daddy. I recently had somebody in my office. Pardon me. I recently had somebody in my office who has a spouse. And that spouse, there are six ADLs generally, activities of daily living, and they're feeding yourself, preparing meals, toileting, bathing, standing, walking. I think that's them. Okay, and this spouse cannot perform five of the six ADLs.
That's kind of a problem.
And so this person, the spouse, is 80 some years old. And the caregiver's almost 80 years old. And so we have one 80-year-old trying to take care of another 80-year-old. And you and I both know that that's a recipe for disaster.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's primarily a recipe for disaster for which one?
Well, for the caretaker spouse. And they're the ones that are going to get really hurt. And then we're going to need two caretakers.
And the person interfering the most is a child. And you already know where I'm going with this, but mom is trying and dad are trying to preserve a legacy because long-term care is expensive. Home, how much a month?
Can I just decipher that for
you? Go ahead.
When we say preserve a legacy, what we really mean is we would, most parents, and I'm the same way, and I think you're the same way.
I have kids.
Would much rather give their hard-earned savings as an inheritance to their children as opposed to paying it unnecessarily for care that the government would otherwise pay for.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, so let's just call it what it is. We're preserving a legacy, but if we have to choose between our kids and the government, I choose my children every time.
Every single time.
Okay, so you're talking about children. They're
the spouse in this case really needs long-term care.
The ill spouse.
The ill spouse really needs long-term care. But every time one of the children talks to that spouse, for the 5 minutes that they talk, everything appears to be fine.
Yeah.
But what they don't understand and what they're not listening to is the spouse at home who is desperately trying to get help. And the biggest stick in the spokes is the child, because the child who doesn't have to live with this all day long, who doesn't understand that the ill spouse can't dress himself, can't bathe himself, can't go to the bathroom by himself, can't get out of a chair by himself, doesn't understand that mentally he seems to be fine. So the child in this case is really the one fighting, helping the spouse, the well spouse, get the kind of help that mom and dad really need.
And I think a lot of it has to do with whether it's guilt or just a denial or accepting a refusal to accept the facts. But when kids step in and start saying, "Mom, you don't need to put dad in a care facility," or "Mom, dad's just fine. I talked to him just yesterday." That's really ignoring what mom is going through. I mean, it's really harmful.
It's harmful. In 1/3 of the cases, the well spouse dies first. And in most of the time, it's from pure, unadulterated lack of sleep. I had somebody in my office the other day who looked me in the eye with her son sitting there, bless both of their hearts, and said, "I haven't slept in days." I mean, she said, "I just don't sleep anymore. I don't sleep at all." And so one of the things that children, we're begging you, is you need to listen to your parents who are at home and who are dealing with this. And they what they desperately want to do is get the help they need. But at the same time, what they desperately need to do is have a support system that is going to let them do what they really want to do. And what they really want to do is not lose everything that they spent a lifetime of work, hard work, very hard work, incredibly hard work to acquire. They don't want that all winding up going to the government. And they don't wind that up, have that all wind up going to a corporate entity that owns a facility or whoever it is. What they really want to do is they want to make sure that their children who they love, their family who they love, their grandchildren who they love are the ones that get that.
Absolutely. That first, there's enough money left in the bank to take care of a well spouse or to take care of a surviving spouse.
Absolutely.
Second, that there's a something for to leave to the kids.
By the way, call me greedy, but if dad goes into a nursing home and we still have mom sitting at home, I want to make sure that mom never wants for anything. I and lots of people don't think of it that way, but I think of it that way, and Dustin thinks of it that way. If the person in the nursing home who has dementia or is ill or whatever is taken care of, is warm, is safe, his meds are managed, he's fed, he's hydrated and all that, I want to preserve as much money as I can for the spouse that's living at home. So there's something called in Medi-Cal language the minimum monthly maintenance needs allowance. There's something in that that I hate. And it's the very first word.
Minimum.
We're going to leave the mom at home the minimum that the government thinks she can get by on.
Which, that has no bearing on reality.
I want the MMMNA to be the maximum monthly maintenance needs allowance for the well spouse. And I don't have a problem with saying it. I don't have a problem with believing it. I don't care who gets mad at me, but my job is not to make sure that we keep that the family keeps the minimums only so the government can get the maximums.
When I've said this before, but when I go to my CPA and I say I never say just tell me what I owe. I don't want any deductions, any credits. Just pay. I'll pay the maximum amount. And that's sometimes how I feel, but I always ask for strategies and ways, behaviors. What are the rules? What can I do to reduce my liability? This is the same thing. If you know the rules, we can protect what you have and make sure that it's there for a spouse and make sure that it's there for the children and doesn't just get, because the government will take care of this. That's just how it goes.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's healthcare. And in my world, in Dustin's world, we spend a lot of time with people who aren't thinking clearly. They're distraught. They're having to deal with things they never thought they were going to have to deal with in their lives. And I can guarantee you that at the core of almost every person we have ever sat down with.
Let me say guilt.
Well, is money.
Oh, yeah.
It's how am I going to pay for this? Am I going to have anything left? And am I going to be able to live? I had a lady in my office today or yesterday, time gets jumbled, who's saying, can I keep the house? Can I keep the house? Am I going to be able to keep the house? Am I going to be able to continue to live in the house? On a gut level, she was even concerned as to whether or not, because her spouse was going to a nursing home, whether or not she was going to be able to keep the house they were living in.
And that is the most important thing. That's what keeps people up at night, is worrying about money. And we're here to say that money should not be the concern like that. We can preserve nearly everything if you do something.
If you do something, and that's the key to everything, you have to be willing to look in the mirror and say, you know, I really do want to do, I don't want to lose everything. I have a choice, and you do have a choice, by the way. Yeah, every year, 4,000 to 5,000 families get sued by the state of California over Medi-Cal estate recovery. Every single one of them at the beginning of their journey had the choice of not doing that.
You know, though, most people are unaware that they,
absolutely,
have, they have the choice, because they're, again, I said it in the beginning, there's so much bad information, wrong information, and I'm not sure that anyone's necessarily lying, but good grief. If it is common now that we can preserve everything, and you don't have to necessarily go broke doing this.
If you're listening to this show now, you now know that you don't have to lose everything. If you've been listening to my show for 18 years, you now know. But the fact that you know it does not mean you've actually done anything about it. So the real issue now is, what are you going to do about it? Start by getting to the workshop on the 26th. Call me at 800-999-8007 during the break. If you can't make the workshop on the 26th, get into my office. Start by beginning down the path of making a change and consciously beginning to say, I don't have to lose it all. We'll be back in just a few minutes right here on Assets and Aging. Don't go away. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Who in your family do you know, do you have, that is becoming more, be honest, that is becoming more frail, either physically, mentally, or both? It could be both. Remember, about half the people in nursing homes, folks, are not there for mental reasons. They're there for physical reasons. It's a common mistake that nursing homes are filled with 90-year-old people that don't know what planet they live on, and that's just not true.
And in fact, generally, dementia is not a qualifying diagnosis.
No, only postmortem.
And so, can I just bring something up real quick?
Absolutely.
That you have been saying for years and years and years, the two main questions of who will take care of you and how will you pay for it.
Right.
And I think those are crucial questions. But when we're talking about skilled nursing specifically, I think the questions could almost shift to, do you want the government to pay or do you want to pay?
No, I'm going to make it better.
Okay.
Do I want a health plan that I've paid taxes into for 50 years, a health plan to which I'm entitled to pay, or do I want to pay for it out of my own money? And then if I need that health plan, do I want to later on have the government sue my estate and sue my children to get their money back? Or would I like to make sure that does not happen?
Those are much better questions. They just don't fit on the back of a car.
I know, but I can't. Luckily, there's nothing on my car.
But you're exactly right. We've been paying into this. All of us pay into it. And the way the current rules are, it's nearly impossible to just walk in and say, I'm sick, I need help, I need health care. Even though health care has been determined to be a fundamental right, we have a right to it just because we live in this country, we don't just get health care unless we know how to.
There are 12.5 million people in California. Any of you have been following the news?
On Medi-Cal.
On Medi-Cal. That we are now talking about a $2 a pack cigarette tax because the Medi-Cal program is $1.5 billion underfunded, which I started talking to you about 2 years ago.
So we need more people to start smoking.
Okay. So my point is, they're all receiving Medi-Cal. It's called health care. It's not called welfare. It's called health care. It's mandated by law. If you meet certain requirements, you get to use Medi-Cal for health care. Now, there are lots and lots of different programs. It's not one giant program. One of those programs that we're talking about here, there are actually, four, I think, that impact seniors. Four major ones. But the one we're talking about here is if mom or dad or grammy or grampy needs a nursing home. Now, approximately 200,000 to 300,000 people in California go into nursing homes every year. That's a large number last time I checked. Every one of you listening to me, I'll guarantee you, knows somebody that's been into a nursing home. You've visited people there. Some of you may know two or three people. Some of you may know somebody that's in one today while we're talking. They're making a choice. The choice they are making is they're either paying for it themselves or they've allowed the government to pay for it in such a way that the government is now going to sue their children after they're dead to get the money back.
And this really happens. This is not just kind of, this really happens, and it's not unheard of. And we've seen the letters that clients have brought into us, and it's something to plan against.
It's not only real. There's an entire department in the Attorney General's office whose only job is in life is to sue the estates of dead Medi-Cal recipients. Now, I can tell you for a fact, because I can tell you for a fact that most of the people working in that department hate it when they have to do that, because they're suing people who were old, who were infirmed, who didn't, had a little house in West Sacramento somewhere or wherever it was, and they hate it. But the law says that if you don't plan correctly, that's exactly what's going to happen. Believe it or not, we got to take another little break in a second. So when we come back, we're going to talk about this some more. 800-999-8007. You have the chance to make a difference. Call today, get into the workshop, get on the 26th, get in to see me. 800-999-8007. Make a conscious decision today to save what you have, not to lose it. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Supporting the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. I'm joined here today by Dustin McFarland, ace elder law attorney, all-around nice guy.
Oh, generally.
And who's the only person I know, you can see them, those of you watching on we record this live too, folks, you can watch this on the website, with three computer screens in front of him. It makes me dizzy when I walk into his office. We're talking about money. And we're talking about preserving it. I want to ask a lot of you a question. How many of you out there have grandchildren? Raise your hands. My first is on the way. How many of you actually have grandchildren today? Okay, here's the next question I want to ask you. Those of you that are grandparents, how many of you bought your first house when you were 21, 22, 23, 24 years old? I did. I was a school teacher. I was making $6,000 a year.
Wow.
When I started.
How old are you, Bob?
I'm 70. But here's the point. And my wife, who was working in a laboratory, we were able to buy a house.
It's really tough to do
now. Our first house cost $23,000. It was a three-bedroom, two-bath house. And we were able to buy a house. Now, how many of you that have grandchildren are able to look at your grandchildren and say to yourselves, oh, they'll be able to buy a house. They're 22 years old. They can go buy a house. They're 25. How many of you have grandchildren that would love to have, or children, some of you, that would love to have a house? I have a son who lives in the Bay Area. There is no way he can afford to buy a house, and he's got a good job. But he can't afford $600,000, $700,000 for 400 square feet in a condo in San Francisco. So the issue is preservation of wealth, preservation of what you have could have a really positive impact on your children or grandchildren looking down the road, because that preservation of capital and transfer of wealth. We're currently in the largest wealth transfer in the history of the United States, in the history of the world, could have a huge impact on what they're going to be able to do.
And it will. And let me tell you, and you know this too, that government regulators are also aware of this major wealth transfer, and they want to be in it, and they want to be a recipient of it. And so we just have to ask ourselves, do we want to do things that will make sure that our estate, whether it's large or small, goes to our family, or do we want it to go to the government? I mean, that's the question.
I know for a fact, and I do know this for a fact, that this, in the last year, about 3 million new people signed up under Obamacare for Medi-Cal as their health insurance. I will guarantee you that none of them, not one of the 3 million people, knows that once they get to age 55, everything that health insurance plan pays out for them is going to be subject to estate recovery.
No, it's not in the literature. It is just, and you know, then they'll send out little mailers every now and then, but it is not easily discernible. It's not understandable, and people don't realize what that means, and that they're going to get sued. They will lose houses. They will lose bank accounts. They will lose assets to the state of California.
Let me give you a little for instance, and this is why preservation is so important. Let's take a nice little old lady whose husband died. She is living on $1,400 a month Social Security. She lives in a little house, but the mortgage was paid off, so she gets by okay. But what she can't afford is she can't afford $250 a month for a Medicare supplement. So somebody tells her, well, why don't you get on Medi-Cal? And Medi-Cal then will pay for whatever your Medicare. Remember, Medicare only pays for 80%. They don't pay the other 20%, but she can't afford a Medicare supplement. So she gets on what's commonly called General Medi-Cal. And that now, for the next 10 years of her life, pays for the part of her health care that she can't afford because she can't afford. Okay.
Which is a great program.
It's a great program. What is it almost guaranteed, Attorney McFarland, and having been that grandma has absolutely no idea that happened to her when she signed up for a health care program to help her pay for doctors and hospitals and that kind of stuff.
So she doesn't know that there's going to be a state recovery against that little old house she's owned forever. And what's even worse is if that health care plan that she signs up for is some sort of HMO plan that and Medi-Cal pays a monthly premium, even if she is healthy and never goes to a doctor and never gets a prescription and never has an x-ray and never has anything happen to her, those monthly premiums that Medi-Cal pays for her are recoverable. And the state is going to come after her children and demand to be repaid.
I am looking at an article that I printed out yesterday, I believe, and it's from Yahoo Finance. And the headline, those of you on the watching this on TV, on the recording can see, it says, millions facing a hefty increase in Medicare premiums in 2016, some as high as 52%. Now, what's going to happen with this? It's going to be the law of unintended consequences. So a lot of those people, because their Medicare premium that's going to go up, that comes out of their Social Security check, they're not going to be able to afford their Medicare supplement policy.
Which is going to force them to Medi-Cal.
It's going to force them to Medi-Cal, and they won't even know, even though they're not in a nursing home, they won't even know that they just signed up for a state recovery.
No, it's not in the application.
No. So, again, let's go back to the cornerstone of what we talked about last week and this week. At the end of the day, long-term care is about money. And it's about whether or not you're willing to lose it all or whether or not you would like to keep, if not all of it, most of it, and you would like to leave that as a legacy to the people you love, or if you want to leave it as a legacy to the state of California.
Well, and I think you said it before very well that you've been paying into this your whole life. And now you have a choice. Do you pay for it on your own, or do you use the tax resources that you have been paying into and get the health care that you need?
But Dustin, I've been told I have too much. I've been told my income is too high. I've been told I have to spend down. I've been told I have to, reposition. I've been told there's a five-year look back. I can keep going here.
I know you can. And so let's just go through your situation together. Let's figure out what is true, what is fact or fiction, right? We need to make sure that we dispel the myths and get rid of that false information and put you on a path where we can protect what you have, make sure that that when you die, it goes to your children. While you're alive, you get health care, and that your estate is protected.
And generally speaking, there are no guarantees. We can't make any guarantees. You're an attorney. You can't make any guarantees. I don't make any guarantees. But generally speaking, almost anybody listening to us, if they chose to, could protect whatever they have.
Just about, yes.
From the cost of needing a nursing home someday and the fear of an estate recovery, which, by the way, I also think is going to come to the VA eventually, but that's a story for another day. But almost anybody listening to us, if they chose to, could make a difference in their life and preserve everything they have.
Yeah, and I would say, I'll go one further. By not doing it, you're choosing to make sure that you pay to the government and the government takes everything.
800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Get to the workshop on the 26th. Get in to see me. But make a decision, get off your rear ends, and step forward into the light and begin to protect what you've worked a lifetime for. No one needs to lose everything. 800-999-8007. Go to my website. We'll see you later. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.